Welcome to Season 2 of the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato.
Most people are just a couple degrees out of center, and it's out of center in their perspective, or, you know, half the people I know are afraid of losing their job and the other half are afraid of keeping it. But to just square up that 2 degrees to say, here's an important change I need to make in my life. So if we could create a safe place for people to do that, that would be a big win.
Today on the Basics of Life Conversations, my guest is New York Times bestselling author and all-around great guy, Bob Goff. You know, one of the things that I love about Bob is whether I'm listening to him speak or reading one of his books, God has used him to alter my perspective in such a good way and to see life and what's going on around me through the eyes of Jesus. So I am super excited for you to hear this interview. Well, welcome to the program, Bob. It's so great to be talking with you today.
Oh, thanks a million for having me, Rob. Delight to be with you.
You know, Bob, 2020 has been this crazy year for our world. We've heard so much about these unprecedented times. And I've been dying to ask you this question. What are you going to remember the most about 2020?
Yeah, when you think about the headline for 2020, it's this, husband returns home. I don't know how many times I was in a motel room in Tallahassee or something thinking, God, if I can only go home. And then March 15th came, and it's like heaven said, what's your second wish? But there's something really important about that. Forrest Gump had been running. I remember he's going back and forth around the U.S. and he's running across the desert three quarters of the way through the film, and he stops and everybody thinks he's going to say something important. And what he did is he said something important. He said, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And he had been running for 2 years, 3 months, 14 days, and 16 hours. Isn't that awesome? I remember stuff. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
And so to just my thought for myself, for you, for the listeners, is to just run home to the people that you love. And then once you get home, don't ricochet off the walls. Just be actually where you are, be where your feet are. And it's easy to be home in a way, like being proximity to each other, but I actually want to be present. And that's where all the good stuff happens.
That's awesome. You know, one of the reasons I was so wanting and just looking forward to asking you that question is I knew that you were going to have an inspiring answer like that, you know, something that, you know, wasn't so focused on, you know, I'm going to remember masks, or I'm going to remember, you know, this, but something that would, you know, just give us some hope. And, you know, the other question that I've been just wanting to ask you about and would love to just, you know, hear your heart on is, as we move into 2021, what are you, Bob Goff, most excited about?
Yeah, I think I have a ton of anticipation for this place we created. We call it the Oaks. And
yes.
It's, it used to be a Young Life camp, and now it's an equestrian center and a kind of a high-end camp, like think leather furniture, not bunk beds. So it used to smell like 14-year-old boys that didn't take showers. And
right.
Now it actually smells like leather. But it's just like a nice place for people to come and kind of get real with their stuff. We were able to open it up for a little while before things got kind of wonky recently. And it's just, I'm really enjoying that because that's part of the returning home for me. I haven't been on an airplane in the longest time. Mm. And I kind of want to keep it that way. There's actually two events that wouldn't cancel. I won't name Arizona and Texas. I'm calling you out. I'm just saying. And I just was a little bit creeped out about going on a commercial flight. And then I remembered I'm a pilot. So I rented this crummy little plane. And I thought, I can just fly myself over to Arizona and underscore crummy little plane, because on the way back, two of the instruments that would actually be helpful dropped out.
Wow.
So it's the middle of the night. I'm flying across the desert. There's no thing, no reference point. There's no horizon because it's just black. There's no lights on because it's the desert. And so what I did is after getting a little puckered up there for a moment, I just thought what I'm going to do is level the wings and I'm going to just climb higher.
Oh, wow.
And so I just did that for the next 2 hours. I just had level wings and climbed higher. And eventually I could see the glow of San Diego out in the distance. And
That's amazing.
Mention that is like for a lot of people, this has been an incredibly disorienting time.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say, you don't have to go to ground school for this, but level the wings, climb a little higher.
I love that.
Whatever it is that guides you, faith is a big deal for you and I. It isn't for everybody, but if faith is important to you, level the wings, bring it to Jesus.
I love that.
If something else, whatever it is that you find the most security in, level the wings, climb a little higher towards that.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. And, you know, I've actually preached a couple retreats at that center.
No, you haven't.
I have. Yeah.
When it was back at the Young Life Camp?
Yeah, I did a few men's.
It does not look like your mama's Young Life Camp.
Right. I've seen the pictures. It looks absolutely incredible. And what's sort of the heart and vision behind that?
I just want people to just get real. You know, I want to go full Vegas on it and just leave it right there. Whatever happens with people in their life, if they need to get real in their marriages or real in their faith or real to just create a safe place without a lot of expectations, a place where people don't have to fake it like they're at a different place than they really are, that they have some questions. Because I think we all do. And I just want to create safe places to kind of just center up again. Here's something crazy. Michelangelo famously, you know, found the slab of marble nobody wanted, and everybody knows that turned into the David.
Right.
Right. So someday I'm going to make a statue of you and call it the Rob. two people took a swing at it and they bailed on this. And then they, Michelangelo, 26-year-old kid, came along and made 15-foot tall David. And while he could use a tunic, because he's just buck naked there in Florence, he was carved 2 degrees out of center. And it wasn't much, and it worked fine in the 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 1900s. But what's recently happened is his ankle started breaking because he was just 2 degrees out. And so my thought is this: I want to create a place where people can just deal with those 2 degrees. Or 90 degrees if they need to. But most people are just a couple degrees out of center. And it's out of center in their perspective, or, you know, half the people I know are afraid of losing their job and the other half are afraid of keeping it. But to just square up that 2 degrees to say, here's an important change I need to make in my life. And so if we could create a safe place for people to do that, that would be a big win.
Man, that sounds amazing. And how can people get a little bit more information about, the Oak? Is that what it's called, the Oaks?
Yeah, not an infomercial on the Oak Center, but we were just talking about the things that I'm stoked about, but it's oakcenter.com. But the important thing, takeaway, is that you don't have to go there to square up 2 degrees. You can do it right where you are. But just get real with Jesus. Like, he isn't afraid of our difficult questions. What he doesn't like is us faking it. So I don't know anybody that I respect that doesn't have a couple questions. And I think that's why eternity is going to take so long, because I think we're going to be unlearning some of the stuff we were positive about. Matthew 5, you've heard it said, but now I say, you've heard it said, but like 12 times he said, like, you've heard it said, like, you used to think this, but now I want you to think that. And I've just got questions about all kinds of things.
Yes.
How much do you think of the average cloud weighs? I'm not even kidding. 1.1 million.
Oh, you
pounds.
Know the answer. I thought this was a question that you wanted to ask the Lord.
1.1. Yeah. I'm going to ask Jesus all kinds of questions. It'll be like the ultimate trivial pursuit, but he'll have all the answers. Yeah. He's got like all the cheat codes. But one of the things that we just take for granted, I want to be just aware of my surroundings and aware of the people. Philippians 2:20 is like Paul talking about Timothy, and he says, I don't know anybody like Timothy. He takes a genuine interest in the people around him. So I want to take an interest in the people around me. I want to know how much a cloud weighs. I want to know how fast a bee hums their wings. I want to know. I'm just curious about all kinds of things. And I think if we could walk into 2021 curious about what's going to happen, living in anticipation of what God might be doing in our lives, our heads on a swivel, We're looking for opportunities to take advantage of the next courageous step for us. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. You know, I've just been very encouraged and inspired by your writings. And anytime I hear you speak or on a podcast, and you know, how do you live with such joy and optimism in such a crazy world?
I think one of the things that might, I don't know if that's unique to me or if it's other people, but I'm always trying to say, like, wake up in the morning and say, like, new day, new Bob. Like, I'm 61, but I'm like, okay, what's new Bob all about today? Oh, do you know what I started reading today? Hamlet.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now, and it's not because I'm trying to be like very, you know, highbrowed on things. I've just always heard about the book. I'd never read it. But instead of getting a book and then reading a bunch of words from Shakespeare I don't understand, I got one where it translates it, what Shakespeare said and what he meant.
That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 So
I need that book.
Yeah. Polinius says, well, be with you, gentlemen. And you know what the translation is? Hi.
That's so good.
That's awesome.
It is.
And there's like, yeah, like, my Lord, I have news to tell you. When whatever the actor was, he just says, guess what? It's awesome. So what I want to do, I write books every once in a while.
Yes.
What I'm trying to do is explain these very difficult concepts in the gospel in very simple ways. Mm. And it's, somebody asked me once if I was watering down the gospel, and I said, oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I just want to give it for thirsty people. I actually want to be one of those thirsty people. I'm just desirous of knowing the heart of God, but I'm not trying to do it by quoting Shakespeare to people. I just want to say it in really plain ways, but I want to be curious enough to know if Shakespeare influenced a lot of people, that I want to know, how did he see the world? I want to like understand this, Hamlet wasn't just the guy, it was the ghost of his dead father was named Hamlet too. I'm like, who knew?
Yeah.
So I want to be curious about everything. Did you know that Dolly Parton once lost a lookalike contest for looking like Dolly Parton?
Are you
serious? She came in last place. Is that awesome?
That's amazing.
Who knew? So what I want us to do isn't to just be a fountain of like interesting little tidbits, but that we're constantly trying to make sense of our faith. We're trying to make sense of our marriages. We're trying to make sense of our strained relationships. We're trying to understand why we're doing the peculiar things that we're doing. And if we're willing to take a deep dive into who we are, I think we'll come back with a more right and humble view of who we are and how we fit into this thing.
That's so good. I love that. And speaking of books, you had a new book come out this year, Dream Big. And
I did. Who knew?
And in this book, you discuss the topic of ambition. And, you know, oftentimes as Christians, we can tend to think of, you know, that having ambition is sort of a bad thing, that it borders on being prideful or something. But, you know, we read in Luke's gospel where James and John, they come to Jesus and they ask if, you know, each one of them could sit one on his right and one on his left when he comes into his kingdom.
Yeah, it was always the mom's idea.
Yeah, it was the mom's idea. But what's interesting to me about that is Jesus, I mean, that's ambitious, and Jesus doesn't rebuke them for asking that question, because he goes on to talk about, you know, what true greatness looks like. And the thing that I loved about your book is you begin by talking about ambition in a general sense, encouraging, you know, pursuing really any kind of ambition. And I thought this was genius as a writer, because you kind of suck the reader in and they're like thinking, this is cool. This guy's talking about ambition. But then you get the reader to start thinking about the difference between short-term and long-term ambition. And I would just love for you to characterize or just describe, what's the difference between short-term ambitions and long-term ambition?
Yeah, you could think of things in three categories if you wanted. They're not the only three ways to think of things, but for purposes of us talking about it, just two friends knocking the ball around, think of things that are easy, and think of things that are bold, and think of things that are risky.
Okay.
So I had a friend that said he was going to buy a house down by the water in the Southern California. And he said, that's the riskiest thing I've ever done. I'm like, dude, like, you have real estate on the water in SoCal. Like, that's not risky. It's expensive. It yeah. might even be bold. It might even be foolish. Who knows? But it's not risky. Because like that, it's
a win
property in SoCal. So what I want us to do is redefine what's risky. I want us to understand what's easy for us to do. Like for some people, I'm married to one. Sweet Maria is very to herself. She's like, it's like being married to a unicorn. So not many people get to see her. So what is really hard for her would be to get in with and in front of a lot of people. So that would feel really bold. That's not risky. They're not going to like bite her or throw things at her, but it would feel bold. What would feel risky for one person might not be risky at all for someone else, but like we spent a lot of time in Afghanistan mm-hmm. with Love Does. And so, that, has more uncertainty, than other places in the world. But it honestly doesn't feel that risky. Sometimes it's felt very uncertain, like what was going to happen next, mm-hmm. but it never felt risky. But here's the beautiful thing. God never compares what he creates. And so if we could keep in mind that whatever it is that he is up to in your life, you just need to keep your eyes on your own paper, not on mine. And I need to keep my eyes on my own paper. And I think if we could think of our ambitions that way, not to compare my ambition with your ambition, mm-hmm. But to just delight in the fact that you have an ambition, that's just like terrific. Somebody wants to like eat 67 hot dogs. I'm like, I think that's the world's record. Another important fact.
Yeah.
But like that is certainly not my ambition. But like, hey, Mazel Tov, like whatever blows your hair back.
Right.
But to just delight in God's creative expression through them in theirs. But what I want to do is things that are lasting.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has changed for me over time is I used to try to do things that worked. And now what I try to do is things that last. Mm. And loving people, like that'll last.
Yep.
Coming up with a pet rock, that might work for a while until people figure out they're paying $35 for a rock.
Yeah, right.
So it didn't last.
Yeah.
But it worked for a while. You know, the older I get, the more advanced in years that I get, that I just think, I just want some things that'll last. And creating safe places, creating beautiful memories and opportunities for people to get authentic with themselves, that'll actually last.
Yes. I love the idea that you put in the book of having an ambition that will outlast you. And you say that answering these three questions are pertinent in discovering an ambition that will outlast you. And the questions are, who are you? Where are you, and what do you want? Can you explain why answering those three questions is so important?
Yeah, I'll give you just from a theological standpoint, you just say, who are you? It was the first conversation God had with Adam and Eve after it got wonky and they're buck naked. And he was like, who are you now? He asked them, where are you in the garden? The question that followed was, what do you want? I think that's what we need to ask of ourselves. Like, who am I? Not my driver's license and not all the initials past my name or accomplishments or failures, but like, who does God say I am? And he calls us beloved. And so if we just have a firm foothold in that we are his beloved, fallible, yes, prideful, totally, imperfect and scared and insecure, all of those things. But yet he calls us beloved. He calls us a bunch of fallible, group of fallible people, a church. And he says, then he calls that church that's full of wonky people his bride. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like I would have picked somebody else, but I just love that if we can get a clear view about who we are and understand where we are in the larger scheme of things, you and I get 27,373 days, you know, give or take, and a little bit more if you eat broccoli, a little bit less if you eat Pop-Tarts, but that's the average lifespan. And so you can take your age, multiply it by 365, And for a guy who's 61, that's a big number. And so what am I going to do with what I have left? And you know, one of the ambitions I have for this year that I'm doing, I'm making a pop-up book.
No way.
So some people might dismiss that and say, well, that's so stupid. Well, not for a guy who's a grandpa.
Yes.
Like, that'll actually outlast me long after I'm in a jar. That pop-up book will still be popping up. So it takes some initiative to do that. I can't just say you could make like a frog with its tongue going in and out, but I want something like an entire European village emerges from this pop-up book. Like, I want a pop-up book. And it takes a lot of effort to pull that off. I'm finding out, because I'm like waist deep in people that are paper engineers. Who even knew that that was a job title? But because I was curious, I made the calls. And I just don't want to find Billy, the guy who's never done one. I want to find the guy that does them for Disney. Yeah. I want a pop-up book. Like, if you're going to do it, like, whatever it is that you put your effort to. And what if you do that with your engaging your neighbors? Something that's right down Main Street that Jesus talked about. Forget the pop-up book. Just go make a pie for your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want it, I do. I'll give you my address. So to just take these difficult commandments that Jesus said really seriously. And so while you're in the process of loving your neighbors, while you're in the process of loving your enemies, like Matthew 5 says, while you're in the process of doing Matthew 25 and serving hungry people and thirsty people and sick people, strange people, naked people, people in jail, you could actually do all of those things and make a pop-up book. So it isn't like you need to silo these things. You can do them all. Do beautiful, creative, winsome things. I don't know anybody right now that wants to make a pop-up book, but I've never met anybody who doesn't like reading them. So I'm like, why wouldn't we make more of those? And the answer is they're really expensive. But at 61, I'm just spending my kids' inheritance anyway. I'm like, stinks to be you. I'm making a pop-up book.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Wow. Hey, we have time for one more question. And in the book, you say this, that our failures don't define us. They inform us. Can you explain that?
Man, I just think of the times where I've let sweet Maria down, and it's so embarrassing to admit, but I think that's where we get to have these real conversations. I was driving, flying, and doing everything everywhere else, and I pulled into my driveway. I think I'd come from overseas, and in the window is a help wanted sign. And she wasn't saying she needed help. She was like, dude, you need help.
Wow.
And so it was and this woman that I had said that I will be devoted to you and I'd give my life for you and all that, she felt so desperately lonely and abandoned by me. And she told me with some authenticity that I feel like I'm standing on the side of the basketball court and everybody's picking people to be on their team, and you picked everybody on earth except me. Mm. Like, wow, that hurts. That's a really sobering conversation. But I'm just so glad that I have people in my life that love me enough to have those difficult conversations. And so she's kept the help wanted sign, and she doesn't hold it like the sword of Damocles over my head. But I'm just so glad that there are people that will just say, hey, listen, I know you've got more good in you than that. I know what your ambitions are. And this is just little insecure Bobby Goff running around doing all these things that took him elsewhere. And I just don't want you to miss it right here. And that would be, I'm right back where we started, run home. Just run home to the people who love you. They might not know, they might not even notice that you've run home to them, but you'll know. Be curious about what would happen if you were fully present in 2021, if you were really where your feet, not because you have a governor that says everybody has to stay home, but you have a God who says, I planted you in this family for a purpose. And I want you to know your purpose. And that's really where kind of a closing thought. It was that disciples asked Jesus, like, what's our work? It's John 6:29. And he said, your work is to believe in the one God sent. And I think the work that we do is to just run home to the people he's already dropped in our life. to keep our eyes fixed on Him, to get real with our insecurities and our failures, but not obsess about them and not get stuck. Like, setbacks aren't campsites, as you were saying. Like, they inform our activities going forward. And I'm just staying closer to home now.
Love that. Bob, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. And it's been so great.
Are you kidding me? What a treat. I do lots of selfish things. This was right at the top. So thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, I just want to say, I think that you are a gift to the body of Christ and really the world, because your joy and love for Jesus and others is so contagious. So keep shining. You are such a blessing.
Oh, thank you. I'll send you Hamlet here when I'm all done with it. Change your life, buddy.
There you go. Well, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Bob Goff. And I just love how real Bob is. I love that line. I love what he said, that our setbacks are not campsites. They're not places for us to stay at, but to learn from. And, you know, I tell our church here at Calvary Vista this all the time, that we are all broken people who are in the process of being transformed by a loving Redeemer. So I want to encourage you to run to Him, to run to Him, not away from Him, because He loves you so much. And as we wrap up our time today, as always, I want to remind you to keep the basics of your life simply Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato, where Rob hosts interviews about culture, life, and ministry. You can find more Christ-centered content at goodlion.io. If you're encouraged by today's conversation, please share it with a friend, leave us a review, or give us a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Also, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We have some incredible conversations for season 2 that you're not going to want to miss here on the Basics of Life Conversations.